Welcome once again to another episode of Demand Gen Radio, the one program that brings you all the latest methods and technologies for driving growth and increasing demand. With the voice of Demand Gen, David Lewis.
All right, welcome back to another episode of Demand Gen Radio. I am joined once again by our Chief Strategy Officer, Carlos Hidalgo, and this is part of our continuing series on the D3 methodology. The D3 methodology is a methodology that we introduced in the latter part of 2019, and in our last episode together, Carlos and I, if you see in the link details, put the slides for the methodology up on our website. So we do encourage you to listen to this, kind of binge on this, because what we are going to continue to do is just keep unpacking the D3 methodology for you. And today we are going to focus in one of the foundational areas, the people areas, and dive into organizational structure. Carlos, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm doing better these days. I've been getting out. I've been hiking. I've been enjoying some more of the outdoors and doing a little less sheltering in place, let's say, meaning that I'm still, you know, keeping my social distance, but I'm getting out there and enjoying the sunny weather and did some gardening last week. And with Mother's Day weekend, you're going back in time, everybody. Like, this was recorded the Friday before Mother's Day weekend. We're gonna honor Tiffany and have our daughter and son over and do some backyard barbecuing. What about you?
Awesome. You know, we've been doing much of the same. The weather here in Colorado is finally, at least for this week, has been nice. We're still expecting a little bit more snow, even though we're in May. But yeah, being outside and just kind of, actually, I've also been thinking a lot about just thankfulness, what we are thankful for. There are so many people who've had it so much worse. Yep. And thank God, my family has been healthy, even with kids scattered all over the country. And I'm just tremendously thankful, and I'm thankful we can get out and participate in everything that Colorado has to offer. So I'm doing really, really well on this Friday.
Cool. Well, I want to thank you for the stuff you've been putting up on LinkedIn. I know by day you're our chief strategy officer, but by night you think a lot about, as you documented in your book, The Un-American Dream. You think about work-life balance and your note about, you know, we all wanted to spend more time with our family. We all didn't love our commute. We wanted to do less traveling. We wanted to get in shape. And your reminders about, well, we're afforded some of that opportunity right now, and let's not squander it. It's good.
Yeah, well, thank you for that.
Yeah. All right, let's dive in. Let's talk about organizational structure. For all of you listening, we want to keep pumping tools out to you. We're going to put a link to this document. It's called the accountability chart. Doesn't have a very sexy name, but it's a very functional document. It's three PowerPoint slides, two technically, if you take the cover slide away, but we'll put a link to it, get it up on the website. And what it is a tool set that we just created that put the four big buckets of marketing leadership, and we'll dive into those. And then on slide number two, which I think is relevant to so many of you, is an expanded view, an accountability chart of demand generation. And there's lots of squares, and inside those squares are essentially roles or functions, if you will. And that way you can see what it looks like as a company goes through its maturity and growth and goes from, you know, a marketing department of one to some of our clients have, you know, 80 or if not hundreds of people across their entire marketing and field marketing team. Carlos, when you worked on the D3 methodology with me, you made sure that people was one of the foundational things, and you made the one in the lower left corner of the slide about organizational. Why'd you start there?
Yeah, I think it is paramount for organizations to really think about the function of demand generation. And Dave, you and I have been doing this long enough. You still run into people who say, well, that's part of my job. If a organization is going to be relying on marketing to be a growth engine, a revenue growth engine, we can't make that a part-time. That'd be like saying I'm a part-time salesperson. We cannot make that a part-time job. So I thought, as we started to look at the people equation, making sure we have those valuable skill sets in the right position to truly drive demand, to drive the strategy of demand, as well as the technical aspects of demand, is so important. And we also see organizations that are so stinking siloed mm-hmm. in their function. And it becomes one of those, literally, the right hand doesn't know what the left hand's doing. And you just can't reach full efficiency and full revenue output with a siloed organization. So that's why we put the organizational design as number one.
The term accountability chart, if that's new for any of you, is a term that I started using after I read a book about 6 years ago. And it was a book called Traction. And what it said was, and this was a book that I was reading because as a CEO, there's no LED light that comes on when I walk into the building and says, Dave, it's time for you to restructure your organization or to do this or that. You feel it, and you actually feel it a little bit painful often, and then you address it. And so the accountability chart concept is, instead of thinking org chart, instead of you thinking, who do I put in this different role, you take a step back, and that's what you'll find in the slides, which is, what are my big boxes, if we will, of responsibility? And at the highest level in marketing, one box is strategy/leadership. And some of the things underneath there are things like executive leadership and big picture marketing strategy, brand strategy, thought leadership, cross-functional go-to-market, really strategic aspects. Then you've got brand marketing. And notice that as soon as I get to that second one, you might start to think, right, Carlos, like, well, isn't that the responsibility of the strategy and leadership function? But the reason it's broken out this way is because instead of thinking about people and who has those skills, by creating these boxes and areas of responsibility, it helps you go, do I need this function now in our size organization? If you're a startup and you're just gumming a market, you may not be thinking about thought leadership. Or you may be thinking a lot about thought leadership. So it depends what your go-to-market strategy and company strategy is, whether you need a box around strategy and leadership, a box around brand marketing, a box around demand generation, which you certainly need once your product is done and you're going to market. And then there's a function called product marketing. And sometimes that function sits or doesn't sit in marketing, but it belongs on the accountability chart because it's an integral part of marketing. And to just illustrate that even further, when you get into demand generation, there's a common topic such as lead development, also called SDR, BDR, right? The SDR function.
Right.
By putting that in a box says to the organization that we need this function when you need it. Then you figure out where that function should sit, and then you think about the who. If you start with your org chart and your people, and you're always looking at scaling your organization by the people that you have, based on my experience reading this book, which I have then adopted for our own organization, I'm just a firm believer of using the accountability chart approach. So download those slides in the details and you'll be able to follow along with us. By the way, there is a podcast episode that we've done on where should SDRs report. So if you want to dive into that, listen to that podcast. While Carlos and I are talking, I'll go get you a podcast number for it. Since this model is essentially, call it like easy to approach, why do organizations, when we're talking about people and organizational structure, why is it still so difficult for sales and marketing to look at, let's call it pooled resources or shared resources, and align and integrate them much better than they are? Is it a culture thing? Is it a leadership thing? Is it cats and dogs trying to figure out how to live together? In your experience, why is this so freaking hard?
Yeah, I think it's both a leadership thing. I also just think it's a people thing when it comes to change. I think so many organizations, from a marketing perspective, especially, have grown organically. So I remember back in my days when I was at McAfee and BMC, I was not the largest business unit by a long shot, but at one point, it was me. I was the marketing organization for my business unit, and I had to kind of fight to get two resources, and eventually we grew. And then when BMC bought my division, I came into a much larger organization. And so then it was like, okay, so where are you and your people going to fit? And so it's so organic in the way that we grow. And I think what it is we just kind of use some duct tape and twine to bolt on a new headcount. And then I think with the explosion of all the digital channels that we have to reach our buyers, as well as the technology, we have started to align around technology and we've started to align around channels. So I see organizations saying, well, they're on the social team, they're on the web team, they are on the events team, they're on the email team. The reality is that's all content. Those are all channels we're trying to reach our buyers. Mm-hmm. So instead of aligning around channels, What we should be doing is aligning around a common buyer or a vertical or an audience segment and saying, so what is your function in doing this? It is content. It is strategy. It is a channel manager where you're going to learn how to manage and execute against all of these channels. So we give that seamless, frictionless experience. To make that change is hard. I was talking with a client yesterday who was saying, yeah, we know we have to get there, but we still have to keep the lights on. So you're kind of like trying to change the tires of the bus while it's flying down the road. And that's difficult and it takes time. And I think a lot of executive leaders don't really have the patience for marketing to actually make some of the changes that we desperately need to make.
Yeah. Well, I had a similar call this morning, CMO, very large global tech company here in the Bay Area. They're doing their user conference next week and quite a bit of stress and accountability, responsibility around pulling off their what's normally their physical user conference in Las Vegas, mm-hmm. their virtual user conference and just all the technology and infrastructure. And by the way, marketers, I think I said this on the last podcast, every one of you right now is being stretched to the limit. You're not alone. I don't know if that gives you any, better feelings about what you're going through, but I have seen across client to client to client, everybody is being pushed very hard right now. There's this perception that email is free and virtual events don't have a cost since you already have the infrastructure and these things are anything but free, and you're being pushed, and you're being pushed at a time when, let's face it, buying has slowed down. And we are starting to see signs of life. HubSpot put out a great report showing coming out of the dip and across 70,000 clients, what they're seeing is a resurgence, which is very, very encouraging. But I just want to say, you know, shout out to all of you that are working very, very long hours these days and maybe not feeling the kind of sense of satisfaction that sometimes you do in the campaigns and programs that you launch. Hang in there and you're not alone.
I'm glad you said that. And I think what is so important is, yes, I think there's a light being right now where marketers are feeling the pressure.
Yeah.
Even more so. But I also want to go back to a lot of the speaking and the conversations I had before all hell broke loose on our planet with this pandemic. Mm-hmm. Is marketers have felt this pressure and this heat for a long time. And if you're listening, one of the reasons we created D3 was for you to take it and educate your organization on what it takes to do sophisticated revenue output driven demand gen. So just wanted to highlight that yes, in these times, for sure, marketers are feeling the pressure. But use this presentation as a way to tell your executives, your sales leaders, even your own marketing counterparts, guys, this is what it takes. This isn't a 45-day fix. We've got to start to do things right. And if you have the right roadmap and the right plan in place, you will get there. It's not going to be an overnight journey, but you will get there. So glad you mentioned that. But I also want to kind of highlight for our listeners, this is one of the main reasons we created the D3 methodology.
Amen. Yeah. I the methodology and the slide set and the tool sets that we put together really were designed to illustrate the sophistication, the complexity, the breadth, and the depth of everything that needs to come together to build that revenue engine. And while we're all feeling stretched, what it should feel like, guys, just to give you a different perspective, because I know it's long days and long hours, this is what it's like to be a champion. This is the level of effort that it takes to play your best game. If you're a professional athlete, you work and you get sweaty and you train and train and train, and that's what it takes to win. And so rather than looking at this period of stress and challenge, although it is, this is a golden opportunity for all of us in marketing because we have gone through a time machine and we have fast forwarded to a period in our history. The history will be rewritten around sales and marketing because physical buying stopped. It was forced for companies to digitally transform everything from the bakery down the street that has to do curbside delivery and order online. You know, this week, a friend of mine owns a bunch of McDonald's, and I was telling him about the drive-through, and he was telling me about transacting money. He goes, well, you give money when you drive through? I'm like, yeah, why? And he goes, why don't you use the mobile app? And I'm like, genius. So I just decided to try what the McDonald's mobile app was like, Carlos. And you know what? It was the most frictionless buying experience ever. I literally got to the parking lot, ordered off my phone, It said, your code is GY15. Tell that when you drive through. I said, hey, my order is GY15. They said, David. I said, yep. They handed me my Egg McMuffin, and I was through that drive through in under 30 seconds. And so for all of us in B2B, we have wanted our entire careers, at least I have, I know you have, Carlos, to be the revenue engine and growth engine for our companies and not be sales's bitch, but to actually be integrated with sales and for us to work together to grow the business. So the stress and strain that you're under is because your organization needs you more than ever. And it's time for our time to rise up. And the only way for you to succeed is coming back to people, is having the right people in your organization and having them in the right roles. And when it comes to building out your team, when you look at these slides, you're going to see all these areas of responsibility and you're going to think, okay, am I ready for all these areas now? Are we at a corporate maturity there? And as you fill them out, you're going to need to do what I call GWC. When you think about the people, let's take Carlos. Carlos, I'm going to use you as an example. When we wanted to bring on a chief strategy officer, again, there was no LED. There was no light bulb that, you know, said, hey, Dave, it's time to hire. I walked in, had a conversation with Rob, and Rob was talking about some of the sophistication and really crazy evolution that has gone on in our client base in terms of the role that marketing is playing and the level of sophistication in their environments. And he said, Dave, I think we really would value in our organization having someone whose sole focus was on helping our clients with B2B digital transformation strategy. And I think you know what happened next. I texted you and I said, hey, what are you doing this weekend? Can we chat? And you're like, I'm around. Give me a call. And I said, just give you a heads up. I'm recruiting you, right? It was something like that.
Yep.
And what went through my mind then is GWC. That's what you and I talked about. And you should do this with your team, folks. So what do they stand for? G is, does the person get it? Do they understand the role? And Carlos, you get it. You know, this has been your entire career helping companies digitally transform. You've not only been a consultant, but you've led a consulting organization. You get what our clients need and you get what the job entails. W is, do they want it? Do they want to do the role? And number C is, do they have the capacity to do the role? And so when you think about, Carlos, your and my interaction last year, we talked about the W. Do you want it? Is this something you want to do? You were finishing up your book. You were on tour. That was your real passion. You said, Dave, I would love to work together. You and I have been friends for over a decade. We share some of the same belief systems. We'll challenge each other. We'll do we can do some great stuff together. And I could tell that you wanted it, but you also had the C in the back of your mind. Like you wanted the role, but there's the C is the, you know, capacity or capability. You can use it either way. Does the person have the time to do it? Or do they have the mental capacity to do it? Because someone may get it. They may want the role, but they're not the right person for it. Or they don't have the time to do it. We're working with a lot of clients right now that need help from us for Marketo administration. They know they get what needs to be done. They want to have it done, but they don't have the bandwidth to get it done. So they hire us to address the G, the W, and in their case, the C. So it's interesting how you and I went through that entire GWC discussion. But first, what happened is I needed a box to appear that it's like we need someone to help our clients with B2B digital transformation strategy, in addition to the consulting team that we had. And that's, folks, what you guys have to do after you draw these boxes and figure out these roles, then get the right people. Don't start with the people, because what you'll do is if you think, all right, Jane, she really understands field marketing, and now we need this channels role because that's just one channel for us. So we're going to promote Jane into lead channels because she's managed one of the channels, and then guess what happens? She fails. Because she didn't get it, and she maybe even didn't have the capacity, the bandwidth to manage SEM and to manage online events and to manage e-commerce channels and manage partner channels, that she was really just a phenomenal field marketing person who you've now Peter principled and promoted her to failure. What are your thoughts, Carlos?
No, I think so much. I what you just described, I see so much. You especially see it in sales. Where somebody is an unbelievable sales rep. They're hitting quota, they're surpassing quota, they have the trust of their customers, they're a thought leader. And then it's this idea of, well, we should promote them to management. And honestly, I think the thing that exposed that the most was the sitcom The Office.
Yeah.
Michael Scott was a really good salesperson. He was an absolute floundering idiot as a manager, and it was just this exposure of this idea. So I think as you look at your organization, if you have someone, you know, this idea for me of organizational leadership that you're either moving up or you're moving out is so flawed. Because if I have someone, in your example, that is an absolute gangbuster of a field marketing manager, loves their job, has the trust of sales, and is just killing that role and doesn't want to move up because they like it or doesn't have the skill set, why are we so intent on literally blowing up part of the organization to say, well, we got to move them up, we got to promote them? You can still give them a pay raise. You can still make their job very attractive. You can even add in different challenges, I think. But it's really incumbent upon us as leaders to say, let's know the skill set. Let's know, I love the GWC, the capabilities of our people. And if they're not ready for it, but they want it, then give them a path where they can learn skills, they can improve their own understanding of the space and of their job to do it well. But it's not fair to the organization. It sure as hell isn't fair to the individual to just say, we're going to do this. And I think as you're constructing your organization, you have to be very, very aware of that. And I would also encourage anybody who's listening, if you're saying, where do I start in addition to the accountability chart, you make revenue and your customer the focal point. That's what you align your organization around. And if you keep that as, and to go back to our visual metaphor for D3, if you make revenue and the customer the sun gear that everything else is built around, you're going to be starting from a really good place to say, now, what roles do I need? Who do I have in the organization? And let's be clear, as you start to move your organization to a more holistic, centralized demand function, you may lose people who don't want to make that turn with you. You've got to be prepared for that.
Absolutely. I mentioned Kyle's, I didn't mention Kyle by name, but the episode that I did on why SDRs should report to marketing, that's the title. It's episode 106, and that is with Kyle Lacey, who's the VP of marketing at Lessonly. I point that one out because the SDR function is one of those really good ones to say, if you do the accountability chart and you figure out, you know what, we need an SDR team. A big reason of whether that should report to sales or report to marketing is the leadership of that department. Right, that department is going to, or that function is going to succeed or fail based on who the leader of that organization is, because oftentimes you can see an SDR team be like a entry point for people going into sales, and they use it as an inside sales function. When the SDR team reports into marketing and has marketing, which is, you know, the no lead is left behind, we will use lead scoring and other techniques to determine what MQLs are, and we'll create cadences and sequencing and use the function of the SDR to achieve the qualification and appointment setting for sales, and that's being done by marketing, oftentimes that's seen successful. So if the SDR team turns into an inside sales function, that can often happen if it sits under sales, where if it is there to address the demand and under demand creation, one of the D3 areas, demand creation, if the SDR function is designed to support the lead generation that marketing is doing and do appointment setting for sales, it's managed and led often very differently. I'm not saying one is right or wrong for your organization, but it's different. And you just need to accept that most cases, the leader of that function is going to drive that department to achieve a certain thing, and depends what gap or issue you're trying to address.
Yeah, and Dave, I'll take it one step further. I'll say there is a right and a wrong.
All right, bring it.
I've seen more organizations that insist in putting SDRs in sales, and then it becomes a completely sales-driven culture where sales is now saying, go here, this is what we're going to do, here's your list, go cold call, and beat the bushes and create leads for me. And there's what'll happen too is as the quarter starts to come closer to the end, if they're missing their number, all hell breaks loose, and it's like everybody does what's right in their own eyes with their own SDR to try to cover that gap.
Yeah.
That's not a way to run a business. Forget about marketing, sales, whatever. That is not a way to run a business. When you put the SDRs under marketing, and here's the key, integrate marketing and sales together.
Mm-hmm.
One common goal around revenue output and a number. One common view of your customer and who you're trying to reach. One common understanding of the message and the theme of the content that needs to be pushed out into the market to engage and nurture those customers and our buyers. Then you can have a consistent, sustainable cadence by which you're using these SDRs to truly enable and support sales in a way that is meaningful and not this knee-jerk reaction, point them here, I want to do a field event, now go call and do invites. And because an SDR functions hard enough. It takes a skilled individual to be a good SDR. When I have never seen, and I'm happy to be proven wrong, I've never seen it where an SDR function that sits in front of sales is more effective than anyone that sits in marketing.
I like the challenge. You share the same passion and belief system as Kyle and so many of our clients. Kyle, you know, in that episode, again, it was episode 106, the title is Why SDRs Should Report to Marketing. And he's very passionate that SDRs need to be very closely integrated and aligned with marketing in order to maintain this cohesive strategy across top of funnel efforts, or what Carlson and I call demand creation, part of the D3 methodology. He even, you know, gets into compensation models and quotas for SDRs. Yep. and how to onboard and train them. So he shares your same passion and belief system because he sees SDRs as a function for top of funnel and support for demand creation and a bit of demand management. So definitely a good episode to bolt onto this one as we're talking about accountability charts, if that's a topic you're looking at. As we get to the wrap of this episode, again, what Carlson and I want to continue doing in this series is a couple things. One, we want to make sure that you guys go and explore the D3 methodology. I think the best way for you to do that is to have Carlos and our team walk you through it. You know, reach out to Carlos Hidalgo, or reach out to myself and have us walk you through the methodology and talk specifically about your organizational maturity and your B2B digital transformation journey. We'll teach you how to use the tools. You can download them if you want to just look at them on your own. And there's a link in the details, and then grab the accountability chart. But what Carlos and I are going to keep doing is we're going to keep walking through the model so that you understand the people and the technology and analytics and data, all the foundational elements. And we're going to continue walking through demand creation, demand management, and demand expansion, the 3D areas, the three planetary gears, so that you guys really understand how to apply this model to your business, because we want to help you grow. We want you to make that revenue engine that marketing is so capable of becoming. There just hasn't really been a great model, a holistic model to help you and your organization get there. So take the tools that we have. Anything else, Carlos, before we wrap up this episode of Demand Gen Radio?
Yeah, I would just encourage people who are listening who probably know the way my organization is structured is not fully functional. We're siloed. We have people trying to carry multiple responsibilities. Take the first step and just say, all right, what would that look like? Go to the site and get the accountability chart model and start to really think through. And I'll take it even a step further, Dave, in just going through the D3. If you want to have a conversation, I'm happy to get on the phone for half an hour and just kind of talk through what your structure is and give you some insight on some things you could do. But you got to be brave. This is not a time for us to shy away. This is not a time for us to say, boy, that's going to be really hard, or politically it's going to go against the grain. You know, that's what leaders do. They realize that there's a problem, then they address it, and this is the time for us to do it. So I would just encourage you to take that step and go for it.
Awesome. Well, thanks everybody for being part of the Demand Gen Radio community. I want to call out again that we are working on Demand Gen TV, and I encourage you. I've seen a bunch of you do it. We're up to 70. My goal is 1,000. So we're on our way. Carlos, being so driven, I had to have a goal, and
love it.
I didn't have a number, but if you go to our YouTube channel, just search for Demand Gen, you'll see our little logo, round logo there, and subscribe. And the reason is not because of what's in there now, it's because of what's coming. So Demand Gen Radio is about to go video, where we show you the methods and technologies for driving growth. We talk about them here, but we're going to show them there. So if you haven't already, go ahead and click on the subscribe on YouTube under Demand Gen, because that way you'll receive notifications when episodes are released. We've put a couple up there, but right now it's kind of like Disney Plus, and all that's in there is Hercules. There's a lot more great content coming, or maybe Bambi for that matter. But go ahead and subscribe, because I'd love to see your guys' engagement. And as Carlos says, reach out to us. We are here to teach you the methods and technologies for driving growth. And this is a dialogue between Carlos and I, but let's expand it to be a dialogue with you guys and help you lift up your organizations and reach your full potential. Hang in there. I hope you had a great Mother's Day, now that you're listening to this after Mother's Day. And look for some other great episodes coming up on Demand Gen Radio. Take care and have a good day.
You've been listening to Demand Gen Radio, bringing you the top industry experts, thought leaders, authors, marketing technology firms, and senior marketing leaders from around the world to teach you the methods and technologies for high-performance marketing.